Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for attending this afternoon. A beautiful day, as usual. I was hoping for snow or cloudy day, but as usual, it's CCSD. It's always perfect weather. Would you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag?
Ready? Go.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God,
let the record show that we do have a quorum. We have one board member that is absent with an excuse, Mike Thompson. With that, this is a special meeting, and I would first maybe apologize to some of the folks that did write some emails to us and saying that they didn't get information in a timely manner. But in that regard, we really have to do better, and we will do better. And please take your time. We'll stay here as long as you need in order to voice your opinions and thoughts. The purpose of the meeting is to get your input more than anything else. So with that, I will turn it over.
Of course, your board as well. So without further ado, let me get up there. Thank you. Okay. I just want to start off by thanking everyone for being here today. Before the meeting started, and just talking with Bill Madouse, who's here, about how well-informed everybody here is in Cambria, particularly those of you who show up for our meetings. So I know there's a lot of preparation that many of you go through, so we appreciate it, and we'll also appreciate your comments. We have a pretty basic PowerPoint to discuss the status of our updating the water conservation plan today. And towards the end, we plan to just open it up for your input, and I'll do my best at facilitating and writing notes down with any suggestions you may have at that point. So that's our overall plan here. We also have, we're experimenting a bit today. We have a WebEx connection, which is a webinar connection. So we have Lisa Madouse, who I'll introduce in a minute, online remotely, who's obviously helping Bill on this project. So without further delay here, let me go to the first slide. Basically, I'll do a little bit on introductions, go through the purpose, background, project goals and objectives, the status of the technical work, which Bill will get up and address, and then next steps, and then, as I mentioned, the request for your feedback. And so we'll run around the room at that point with the microphone and let everybody express their thoughts. We're 40 years experience in the water field, and has specialized in water efficiency since about 1976. In 1995, he started his own company, Madouse Water Management. They have prepared over 100 conservation plans. Bill works with his two daughters, also civil engineers, and Lisa is, as I mentioned on the line, Lisa, I understand, has both an undergrad and a master's degree from UC Davis. So Lisa, can you say hello to us? Are you connected at this point?
Good evening.
Oh, great. Glad we're working.
I'm well connected and following along. Thank you.
Excellent. I'd like to take this moment to thank AGP Video, particularly Bob in the back there. Bob Lloyd has been very helpful in making this occur. So thank you, Bob. Purpose of this particular project is to update and expand upon the CCSD Water Conservation Program to further offset demands in conformance with, and we kind of listed the bulleted points here, the CCSD, our current municipal code, as well as future board policy direction, which may, of course, alter that code in the future. The SLO County Coastal Zone Land Use Ordinance and their municipal code, as well as their policies, and particularly including the local coastal program, which we also call the North Coast Area Plan for this area. And then lastly, the state-mandated California Urban Water Management Planning Act, which is codified and the reason we do our five-year updates on our urban water management plan. Okay. A few key regulations just for fixtures within the CCSD's service area or through other verifiable actions to reduce existing water use in the service area. So that's a key requirement in the local coastal program. More recently, the Coastal Commission commented on our notice of preparation for our water supply project, EIR, EIS, which the Army Corps is helping us with. And in that letter on page 3, he says, although Cambria has already incorporated a number of conservation measures into its water supply system, there appears to be others that could further reduce demand and thereby create additional supply from existing sources. So we thought that was really a key letter that we got this last year back in March that fits in nicely with what we're doing here. Just to summarize our current water conservation efforts, we have the 2010 Urban Water Management Plan update, which we adopted back in February. There's approximately $79,000 budgeted this year for water conservation measures to complete demand, what we call demand management measures, or DMMs. We adopted a goal of 5% reduction by 2020, which is required of the 2009 Water Conservation Act, which is also called SB X77. I always get that name a little twisted around. Excuse me. In addition, we have our existing CCSD municipal code, and that has retrofit on resale, on change of use, and on remodel. Certain remodels fall into that category. get a glass of water here. A waste of water prohibition section in our code, an emergency water conservation program. The goals of this project, some of the key goals and objectives, include today's meeting, soliciting input from public and stakeholders, identify and define those measures or enhancements that will further increase water conservation, document and update our usage estimates for future buildings, revise existing point system as needed. We have a conservation retrofit point system in our code. An important step that we saw is to collaborate further with both the county and the Coastal Commission staff on whatever we're coming up with. So that's going to be a key effort as part of this proceeds. There'll be recommendations most likely to update certain provisions in our code, and we'll document all that with Bill and Lisa's help into a formalized report, and the goal is to have a draft report for the December board meeting. At this point, I'd like Bill to take over here on the technical, and then at the tail end here, I'll run around and solicit your input. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. It's nice to be here. I haven't been to Cambria but a couple of times, so looking forward to this visit, staying overnight, getting to experience your lovely town. We've done a lot of work on the coast, and I've been working in Los Osos just down the road for about 12 years, so I spent a lot of time there. We've worked in Murray to offer some input to us. Before, it's, you know, we're down the road and we have our kind of final plan out and it's a draft and it's kind of hard to influence things at that stage. So we thought this would be a good time to come out and talk to the people now and see if you have some good ideas that we should be factoring into our work. This is just a little bit about our firm. We've, I mentioned, done a lot of work. We've written a lot of books, and you know, we've been doing it longer than most anyone else. But you know, I'm not tooting our horn. I'm just saying I think we're qualified to do this because we've done a lot of projects like this. So we always start by asking, well, where's all the water going here? And so we got access to all the water records for Cambria. So you have about 4,000 homes here, and I don't know, maybe 4,500 water accounts. Is that close, Bob? Something like that? Yeah, a little over 4,000. So these different accounts use different amounts of water, and so we have them broken down by how they're categorized. And your community is pretty typical in that we see about two-thirds of the water in the community and other communities being used for residential purposes. In your case, it's almost all in single-family homes. You have very little in multifamily dwellings. We also have a pretty significant commercial water use base here. It's been split out in the billing system in terms because it's a piece of property that's rented out to a visitor. So it's a pretty typical water use distribution. So when you're looking at that, you'd say, well, if you want to come up with a water conservation plan, you should have quite a bit going in the single-family residential sector because that's where, you know, most of the use is. But let's not forget the other ones, particularly the commercial sector, which are also significant. So we asked how much do the single-family homes use here, and they gave us access to all of the account data without the names. And so we had 4 years of bi-monthly records to go over and pour over. From not only single family, but all the other categories. And then we did something that in this day and age of the computer you can do, and we merged the billing database and the county assessor's parcel database. And that has a lot of useful information about the size of the parcel and what's on the parcel. And so I'm going to show you some of the results of being able to do that. And it helps us understand you know, what drives water use and why do some accounts use twice as much as others. So we made some graphs of plotting, it looks like a scattergram, and that's what it is. There's over 3,000 points on this graph. And you can see the water use trends up a little bit as the parcel sizes get large. The parcel size runs from 0 to about 2 acres on this graph. And the water use runs from 100 that's gallons per day, per account, per home, up to is lower than that. Yours is about 114. So it's only about a third of the California average. So that's kind of interesting. A number of reasons for that. You've already done quite a bit of conservation. You've got more efficient fixtures and appliances in the homes than most other homes in California on average. And you have a fairly low household size. You have part-time residents. So the household size is, maybe 1.5 per dwelling unit or per account, something like that, and it's low. So there's just not that many people in the homes using the water. So that's why it's low. We also looked, because we have access to the number of bedrooms and bathrooms. So, you know, if a house has more bathrooms, does it use more water? Well, yes, it does. Even though, you know, there's only a fixed number of people in there, what happens with more bathrooms, you know, these fixtures, particularly the toilets, they can leak. And maybe about 20% of the toilets are leaking at any given time, and that's kind of an issue we've known about for many years, but it just kind of continues. Overall, we lose about 10 or 15% of the water inside the house to leaks. And it's something we're concerned about and something we'd like to do something about. So obviously, the more bathrooms, the more water use. Same thing with bedrooms. The more bedrooms you have, you know, the more water use. So this kind of tells us, well, if, you know, there's a long waiting list for water meters here, and all we know about those people now is they have a parcel. But we don't know what they're going to do on the parcel. But we can clearly see process these applications over time and do it in a fair way. So we kind of have an idea as to just how much water use to expect from a new account. So we asked the same thing about commercial buildings. And we lumped the commercial lodging and the commercial water use together. Again, we had the parcel database. So we made a graph first of the water use in gallons per day versus the size of the parcel, in this case up to 5 acres. And you can see there's a slight upward trend. Yeah, but there's quite a bit of scatter, you know, so it's more than the parcel size. It depends on what's there. Is it a restaurant or a store with just one bathroom in the back for the employees? It makes a big difference on the water use. And it can be a restaurant on a small parcel that's up here, or it could be a store on a big parcel that's over here, you know. So that's something to factor in. And the average commercial building uses about 680 gallons per day. That's about six times that of a house. So obviously, if they're going to build a commercial building, we should expect that they're going to be wanting more water than an average single-family home. And the last chart is a relationship between water use and gallons per day and building square feet. This goes out to 100,000 square feet. There's a few outliers, but there's an upward trend. The bigger the building, the more water use. So this kind of tells us something about, you know, how to map out future needs based on is a fair way of predicting how much water they're going to use. So I want to say a little bit about the trends in water efficiency. Californians have gotten a lot more efficient over the years. The first regulation on fixtures was in the early 1980s, dealing with toilets, and that's when we had a regulation that a toilet couldn't use any more than 3.5 gallons per day. Eventually, that was kind of adopted nationwide, and then in 1995, that changed to 1.6. And so sometimes a state passes a law. Sometimes there's a building code, a national building code, which governs these fixtures, and sometimes it's a federal law. So we have kind of a mix of everything going here. We have a lot of agencies involved regulating fixtures and appliances. The appliances are regulated by the Department of Energy for the most part. California has some role. They regulate showerheads, for example, on the California Energy Commission. But we recently made a huge step and changed the whole building code. And we came up with what was called it's called CalGreen, maybe you've heard about it, but it's a new building and plumbing code, and it's very far-reaching. It's the most aggressive and far-reaching in the country. And so it takes on the water side, tells us what we must put in a new building, and it specifies the fixtures, or says that we can build our building to use 20% less water than a comparable building built with the current fixtures of the day. We have a choice of how to go. But it does reduce water use about 20% from what was there before. So we're just getting used to that. There's not a lot of building going on, as you know, in the state. So we're having a little opportunity to get used to it. We will be using, for example, only high-efficiency green code. So that has a huge impact on, you know, what's in our houses, because eventually, you know, people, the toilet breaks or people want to remodel and they have to buy what's available. So over time, you know, over decades, we've dropped the toilet water use from maybe 4 or 5 gallons to 1.3 gallons and below. There's toilets out there that use less than a gallon. So there's a lot of progress being made, and there's a lot of it's even as dramatic in the washing machines. I don't know if you've bought a new washing machine lately, but we used to use washing machines that used 45 gallons a load. Then they dropped it to 30, and we thought, oh, that's pretty good. And now it's below 20. It's amazing that a full load of wash can be done for like 15 gallons. That's a third of what it used to be. So these fixtures are coming into Cambria, you know, naturally, because people are using their preference. Now, if we wanted to accelerate that, you know, maybe we could offer some financial incentives to speed up the process. So that's what we're trying to figure out. Would that help? So we came up with a list of conservation measures, and now is the part where I want you to take note and provide us some input. You have a list in front of you if you picked up one of the handouts, and I'll go over these briefly and try and explain the mystery words on this. so you understand what we're talking about. But we started with a list of over 50 or 60 measures, possible things that others have done, and I asked the question, well, do you think this would work here in Cambria? And so the staff kind of are also in the urban water management plan. But we're trying to go beyond that, and we're also trying to estimate, you know, costs and water savings and where should we put priorities. And they are a relatively small district, so we have a list of over 20, and there's no way they could do them all. So they're going to have to choose. Maybe do one for a while, stop it, and pick up another one, but, you know, it would take a long time to get through the list of 20. So these are choices. We haven't worked out the numbers or the costs or anything like that yet, but we have a list, and we're in the process of setting up to evaluate this list. How much water could be saved? What would it cost? Is it cost effective? So there's a water loss program that is the first DMM. There's guidelines on keeping your water loss at a respectable level. Cambria's is actually pretty low. It's maybe slightly below average for the state, so that's a good sign. They don't have a lot of leaks and unmetered connections, people stealing water. So, but still, they can always do more. And if you do nothing, I mean, the old pipes are going to leak. It's just going to get worse. So you can't just say, oh, we don't have to do anything here. They really should be doing something just to keep it as it is. And then they recently have changed the meters and put in an automatic meter reading system. Maybe you know about that living here. But that's kind of a neat system that has the capability of recording whether you have continuous flow in your house or maybe we think you have a leak. You know, we've recorded that, and you need some help kind of diagnosing where that might be. And, you know, it's often in the toilet. Toilets leak, and for a while until the thing won't flush, you don't really know it. You can't hear it. So these things now can pick that up. Public information and outreach and media campaigns are a common thread through California conservation programs. Most cities have something, and it's really where they're marketing to the customers to take advantage of some of the other rebates, incentives, and offers that are out there. And this is kind of the marketing program. May not save any water on its own, but it's important to have because it kind of glues everything together and makes it work as a whole. Perhaps you've had a single-family survey done at your house where a trained person comes out and goes through the house, looks for leaks, looks at the types of fixtures you have, and tells you what you could do on your own to improve things. And if there are incentives available to change out some of the things, they tell you about that too. So this is you know, one of the things that most agencies in California have been doing since 1985, and they're well-honed survey methods, and it takes about an hour at a house to figure out what's going on and what are the opportunities to save water and give the customer a little written synopsis of what they could do at their house. And then these are, again, all choices. They could have a high-efficiency shower head or high-efficiency toilets because they generally are more expensive. Eventually, that's the only kind you'll be able to buy, so maybe we wouldn't do that after that's the case, but over the next few years, it might make sense to offer maybe $100, $150 for somebody to change their toilet. It would help defray part of the cost. Or they could have kind of a massive toilet and urinal exchange day where a company would come in, such as Niagara Conservation, organize a thing, and people could get a free or low-cost toilet on that day. And that would really, you know, be a kind of a big event here and get a lot of toilets changed in short order. Okay, so this is the second set of slides. And, again, you have the list, so you don't have to write these down. But there's schools here in Cambria, and a number of agencies have recognized that schools always struggle with water and fixtures and plumbing, and they seem to have the oldest toilets in town and the ones that leak the most. So they could use some help probably retrofitting the buildings with high-efficiency equipment and fixing the leaks and so forth. We could require irrigation and landscape upgrades. We could. There is a statewide ordinance that specifies for non-residential only, you know, what you can plant. Like you can't have turf in a strip less than 8 feet wide. And you have to water it with an appropriate system. So there are already things on the book. So it's getting a little draconian to do things like that, but these are choices. We've long known that multifamily residents, people who live in apartments, you know, they usually don't have a meter on the apartment, and they're not directly paying, you know, for their water use. They're paying it through their rent. And the landlord is calculating what he charges for rent based on kind of the average water use. So we found that if people have a meter, they'll use 15% less. It's pretty tricky to do it on an existing account, but on a new account it's possible. You know, you have an electric meter and a gas meter, why not a water meter? So we could require that. And then you have water softeners here, I understand. Some of them work on a timer and regenerate whether it's needed or not instead of on demand. And we'd like to get rid of that type and replace them with a more efficient type that regenerates only when needed. And that would save quite a bit of water. And then for the large meter replacement, as meters get older, they slow down and stop working and aren't good at finding leaks. They don't measure the low flows. So by replacing those, we'd be able to capture a lot of the water that is lost now, not measured, and would help people. Well, they'd probably get a higher water bill if you replace their meter, and they'd get a little bit more interested in finding the leaks. And then most areas prohibit water waste and practices like water running down the gutter, non-recycling fountains, and things like that, and washers last 10 or 15 years. So you have a lot of inefficient washers still out there, still running maybe up to 45 gallons a load. And a new one is, you know, 15, but you're going to pay maybe $1,000 for that. You know, you could probably still get a cheaper one for $500. So who's going to pay the extra $500? You know, we'll save on their water, sewer, and energy bill. But, you know, if might be a good idea to sweeten the deal a little bit and offer them a rebate. PG&E often has a rebate going on this. It depends on their budget situation, but you may be able to piggyback with them. And somebody, you could get two rebates. So we want the people to be able to afford the more efficient type of appliance. Eventually, you know, we'll probably have these new efficient ones regulated, and that's the only kind you'll buy, but that might be 10 years from now. So why wait and hope? Why not just get them out of here? So here's the end of the list. We talked about doing surveys for homes. Well, we can also do them for commercial businesses. And we have a little survey going on right now in with the motels to see, you know, just what's their status. You know, do they do laundry on site? What kind of machines do they have? Have they replaced their toilets? So we're trying to figure out, at least in the lodging sector, you know, where are they in terms of water efficiency? And would it make sense to work with the bigger users and try and help them reduce their water use? The energy companies learned to do that long ago. The water companies, but a lot of people have concluded that a pint of water is enough, and but they're surprisingly expensive. So it's not a cheap item. So offering a rebate, we could replace a lot of urinals in town, particularly at high use areas, parks, restaurants, places like that. And again, we could have water audits just focusing on the hotels and motels. You know, forget about the other businesses. Just go after the hotels and motels. And we're going to see how our survey pans out on that and whether that's a good idea or not. And then already you have a county-run ordinance, I believe it is, toilet retrofit on resale. So if you sell your house, you have to bring your fixtures up to code before you can close on the house. We could also extend it to the change of the name on the water account, which would pick up maybe rental houses where the tenant is paying the water bill. So it could make that a little bit more aggressive. And then number 20 is conservation pricing. So right now you have one rate for residents, another rate for commercial, and the rate gradually increases with increasing use. Well, we could change that. We could do a water rate study and figure out how maybe to put in a tiered system. So when you move into the higher tiers, you pay an awful lot more. I have a home in Carmel, and the difference between the tiers is like a factor of 10. And so if I'm watering, it's a rental. If the tenants are watering too much, I see a huge water bill come in. I mean, and that's got my attention. But here with the rates you have here, it's not that much of an incentive. The more you've had a conservation coordinator in the past, and depending upon how many of these you choose to do, somebody's going to, in the office, have to run all this. So you may need to hire somebody, or you're going to have a lot of people doing this part-time. So that's another possible measure. So that's it on our list, and maybe in our discussion, if we've missed something, left a stone unturned, well, let's hear about it. We're looking for ideas. So we're about ready to take that list and evaluate it. We're going to look at, is it cost-effective? How much water can we save? How much would it cost the agency? Because the deal is the agency has to come up with the money to do this, and then they get the payback, the benefits, later on as the participants begin to save water over time. And it's the same with a participant. If they put up some of their own money to do the project or get a rebate but doesn't cover the whole cost, eventually they'll get their money back if it's a cost-effective thing. So we'd like to emphasize measures that are cost-effective. So we've got to figure out which ones of these are. What does it cost? What's the cost of water saved? And then prioritize. And also we want things that are not too difficult to implement. It's a small district. They're not going to have an army of people running around policing things. We want things to work easily. And so they certainly don't have the staff to run 20 measures all at once, maybe a half a dozen programs. So the more you invest, the more you save, the more measures. And at some point, it's like trying to get blood by squeezing a turnip. We just can't get any more water out of the deal, no matter how much money we spend or throw at it. So there comes a point of diminishing marginal returns, and we'll probably see that in our analysis. And so we want things to be affordable and cost-effective and get a lot of bang for the buck, because resources are limited, and so we're trying to save the most water for the least amount of money. Here's an example of the things we're going to be coming up with. This is our work in Marin, where we made a family of curves. And this is a water use in the future. Goes from 26,000 to 34,000. The units are acre feet per year, but you don't need to know what an acre foot is. You can just see that it's growing over time. This is 30 years. This is a projection, because they are growing, of water use if there were no codes. No plumbing codes. You could just keep everything the way it is today and just replicate that in their new homes. They'd need about 10% more water than they're using today. If you just put on the plumbing code, the one that's already on the books, well, you can knock a lot out of that. You only need another 1,000 acre feet. You've cut the increase by two-thirds. And then if you start layering on more and more conservation, you can really end up using less than you're using today. Get by with less. We finished this. They got into a recession just like everybody else, and the water use plummeted. You know, but we told them, well, don't be fooled by this because it's going to come back up eventually. But this is their actual curve. Exceeded our expectations. It really had nothing to do with our forecast. It was just that they suffered through the recession like everybody else is. Water use is pretty much down 15% throughout the state temporarily. So it'll be coming back to some level. So, thank you. That's very kind of you. Actually, I'll try some water. I'm almost finished. So we've talked that we're going to do an analysis of the options here, and then we're going to come back to the board with some recommendations of how to move forward and how to connect it to their scheme for let's see if I can go backwards and forwards one. Yeah. You know, for keeping track of the points and credits they have on hand for granting new meters. And we'll come up with a way to estimate those that apply, you know, how much water they're going to need. And then there's a set of conservation measures that should be done first and can be maybe funded by those people that want the water, if they're going to use it that way. And that'll all be worked out. And that will eventually end up in the CCSD code. To have some reference to conservation, so we're just taking that a step further, figuring out, you know, how to implement what was in that plan and how to set priorities, which ones to do more of, which ones to do less of. And so we'll have a report eventually that I'm sure you'll be able to access and comment on along with the board. Oops. So now it's time for questions and try and answer anything we can about what we've been doing. So Bob has a microphone. You know, he'll walk around, ask for your name, and then you can ask questions, make a comment. We've got an easel here where we can write down what people say. Maybe I'll be the writer. Yeah, I'd like you to do it. My handwriting is terrible. I'm an engineer, and it's crooked and it's illegible. So we want to capture the good ideas. As you're all smart people, and I know you've thought about this, and we all have experiences at home and our places of businesses. You know, we know how we use water, what works, what doesn't. And we know what our water bills are and why they are what they are and what we might be able to do about it.
Bill,
sure.
Bill, could I ask a couple questions real quick?
Yes.
If you look at your slides, I might have missed it, but you have these letters besides this. You have DMM, and then you have I, and then you have DMM, N, and K, and H. Can you?
Our new ideas, not in the Urban Water Management Plan.
Okay. That and the state park and schools, are they in commercial?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. And, And it looks like you do about 10 studies a year, that first slide. 18, it's over 200, over 200, 18.
Yeah.
It'll be good to get one done quick.
As quick as we can. I think the once we've got the, here's the list, you know, go. And, you know, we've obviously you can't evaluate a measure on hotels, you know, without knowing how many are here. We have to have a little bit of information to evaluate these things. And so we've thought about that, and we're out gathering that now so that we you know, we have the basic information we need. So, yeah, it's going to be pretty quick. Sure, Alan.
Bill, on page 12, your chart that shows all the graph, is that both indoor and outdoor, or just indoor use?
No, all it's all use.
All use, meaning it's indoor and outdoor.
Yes.
So there's no separation of what you, the benefit is for indoor only. I'm thinking of the impact of outdoor, where Cambria probably is a best case in a very low quotient of mm-hmm. grass and so forth. And
yeah, well, we're going to be looking at how we're going to make an end user homes and what's reasonable and how much water do they use, flushing the toilet, washing clothes. We've got a pretty good idea of things like that. And so we'll be applying that too. So we'll have a pretty very detailed forecast of future water use, by-end use.
By-end use. And from the standpoint of goals, this obviously Marin is looking for some building expansion. Is that the basic premise for inviting you in on a conservation program at Marin?
Well, it seems like every place we work, people are there arguing and fighting over water, and that place was no different. And well, I hate to say it, but of course they had a desal plant on the planning stage, and they've, with a depression in water use, which you saw, they've put that on hold. But you know, they're kind of desperate for getting more water, because as one board member said, we're never more than 18 months away from running out of water.
Running out of water.
Yeah.
Well, my concern or the question is, did they have a goal? In other words, if they had a need for X number of acre feet that they would need in 5 years or whatever, and they're trying to match it, so they would then pick the conservation elements that they would need. That's what I'm trying. How do you establish a goal in which we would attempt to achieve?
Well, the game has changed in the last 5 years. What I did for about 30 years was I looked at what was cost effective, and I said, do that much.
Yeah.
You know, nobody can argue that that's not the right capital water use reduction targets for all communities. It was called 20% by 2020, something that Governor Schwarzenegger started. Start talking about it, and pretty soon it was a law. And I just learned that the university system has adopted that, and the state college system is going to adopt something similar, maybe even more aggressive. And, you know, they never asked us if 20% by 2020 was possible, and we've never been able to get that high with our known technology in that short of a time, because he made that pronouncement, and there was only like 10 years to get it done. It's still 2020. The end date is fixed. So every agency has had to figure out how are they going to address that. So that has kind of trumped the...
He figured out we're only going to do five.
Well, that's the minimum. Because if you fall below a certain threshold, then you're not caught in the 20%. You don't have to do 20%.
Exactly.
So you lucked out there.
Yeah.
But most of the rest of the state has to do 20%. So they're going to struggle, I think, in getting to that. Marin was one of those that, you know, had to set a target and try and get to 20%, whether it was cost effective or not.
Yeah.
Well, I think this gentleman here had his hand up earlier, so in all fairness, I'll defer to you, sir. If you don't mind stating your name the first go around at least, and then we'll go from there. And, yes. Well, whatever the standard is, I'll defer to the board.
Thank you. My name is John Terwilliger. I purchased a home here in Cambria in 2006 with the plan to retire here. I've been very interested in what's been going on, and as a consultant in the area of water management, I'm a consultant for the world's largest water pump manufacturing company in Denmark. All of this dialogue has been fascinating to me, but just really briefly, I lived in Marin County when we ran out of water and had to put a pipeline across the Richardson Bay Bridge mm-hmm. so that we'd still have water to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And they managed that very carefully and easily by simply raising the rates on the water and made it prohibitive to waste water. And all of a sudden, water use went way down. Mm-hmm. And guess what their plan was? There were already desalinization plants all over the world, but they did a study of the technology at that time. Reservoir. We built a huge reservoir north of the Russian River, and that provided the drinking water for the entire county. Now, on a second point, using Marin County as a comparison to Cambria is a little bit interesting, because Marin County, of course, being the richest county practically in the world, they money to them is not quite the issue that it probably is to most other places. However, they're a very conservation-minded group. I still hold the post of president of a small nonprofit. Viable way of looking at future water use. I was aghast again at reading the most recent Cambrian to find out that desalinization is still very high on the list of options to provide an additional water source for Cambria, because I still have yet to see a viable water desalinization plant anywhere on the West Coast. And if we don't have 5 years of data to present to the people of Cambria, from what are the implementation costs to what are the ongoing costs, with 5 years of data, you're just selling them a pig and a poke. So I love the idea of conservation, but you need to really look at, A, the demographics of Cambria. To be holding events such as let's have a toilet swap out to people in their 80s, I don't think you're going to get a lot of participation. You're talking to people that are entrenched. You're talking about people that are basically entrenched in the current in their current world, and they're not going to want to change what they know. And also, it seems to me that you should have all of the data, and it should be simply a computer. That's what computers do, to analyze that cost tier, because I think that's a very effective way to get to people that are perhaps using a little more water to water their landscape, as opposed to simply restricting it to inside the house use. But it seems to me you probably have that data there, and again, I would think that'd be an easier way to look at that in a clear snapshot. And I would certainly hope that you'd have a more comparable community like this one to show us this is what these folks have done. This is you said you've been looking at this for a long time. I don't see a need to do a tremendous lot of expensive analysis on something that should be already available. Thank you.
Yeah, I can maybe answer that while we have a little dialogue here, if that's okay.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, we welcome community input, but oftentimes we're not given this opportunity. They just say, go away and come back when you're done. And deliver a report. That's more commonly the case. And yet this is an active community. I think it's important to give you the opportunity to see what we're doing it transparently. And I've been working in Los Osos area for 12 years. I only went to one public meeting. It was over the 2000 Urban Water Management Plan. The public meeting spilled out onto the golf course where it was held, and the people were angry, you know. And it's like, well, they didn't want the sewer project, which was you know, the hot topic of the day. So, you know, every area has its own sensitivities, controversies, but we're all exposed and have available the same technology. I mean, it's available to the whole country. You can pick any of the 50 or so different things we could suggest, including changing how we price water. And people have done that. And so we go through kind of a process. It's the same process, but we always come up with a different plan. It's a different list of measures. And we let the people kind of have input and pick. We just finished one for Sacramento. Their big issue is meters, and I'm going to the city council November 27th to present that one. And it's going to be horrendously expensive. For example, was that it's just an example graph. I maybe should have taken the name Marin off, and you know, because it doesn't really matter. We do that graph for anybody. And we did it for Santa Barbara, for Oceanside. Oceanside wants to tap into the Carlsbad desal plant that's going on in San Diego County. That really didn't affect us. We were still, you know, trying to look at how much can they conserve? How much does that cost? Put it on the table and let it compete with other choices they have. So I appreciate your comments. Okay, hopefully we can come up with something useful.
Mahala next.
Mahala Burton, I live here. I bought an existing home. I just want to remind the board and everyone else in this room, if they forgot, this is from the staff report in June. Consultant William Mattis was hired to prepare a new water conservation study for Cambria. Excerpt: the intent of this effort, General Manager Jerry Gruber wrote in his staff report, is to help upgrade, refine, and expand the CCSD's existing water conservation program, and also to develop and evaluate hard data on a technically sound basis, document the CCSD's ability to use water conservation as a means to offset demand from proposed water connections, thus allowing for a limited number of new connections to occur each year while the CCSD completes its long-term water supply. So the point of hiring you is to allow more growth. So what you are suggesting is that the Cambria residents find and pick one of your out of your checklist, out and pay out of our own pocket, mm-hmm. so we can have new growth. I don't like that idea at all. As a good social policy, I believe in conserving. I bought a very expensive site. They're little farm kids. So we save water in many ways. Mm-hmm. But I'm not saving water to build, because we're on a thin, thin margin right now. We're skating on a lake with thin ice. Mm-hmm. We can go through any minute and be out of water. Mm-hmm. And like you said, the recession caused this decrease in the vacancy rate. We're down to 32%. And all of those people at any time can come back into Cambria. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, there's a lot of reasons to conserve water. And the thing is, I never said it was going to be easy or cheap. And so it is going to take a source of money if this is what the community wants to do, whether it's paid by existing ratepayers through their water rates, through connection fees that they are then able to sell. But somebody's going to have to pay this. Otherwise, we're going to have to wait for people like you to do it on their own. And that will eventually happen, has been happening. But, you know, if we come back here in 30 years, the water use will be less. If you want to do it quicker than that, you have to incentivize it so people move and do it faster. So it's a choice.
If I could add, too, we're working with Bartle Wells right now on a connection fee update, so I appreciate your comment for two reasons, this meeting as well as that project, and we'll definitely carry your thoughts forward as we're working on that as well, because I can understand your fairness argument. So thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Bill, I've got one question here. On page 5, the state source of new water, mm-hmm. your experience, is that are they considering conservation a source of new water?
Well, I've heard it sliced every which way you can imagine. And, you know, different policymakers are going to interpret things different and set policy, and you may have to live by their definition. But I think you can use it any way you want. If you get more efficient, it should be a win-win. Everybody's better off. And then what you do with the saved water, I think, is a policy decision for the community and the board to decide how are we going to use that.
And second,
we're not going to tell you.
Second question is, are you coordinating, or will you coordinate with the connection fee study so that when you come up with what will it cost, are you matching those costs to what connection fees will generate in the conservation element of those connection fees, or are we just going to have, we'll give $150 for this and $50 for that? Or are you really going to match out so that if we do provide connection fees with a portion that is included for conservation, we are actually spending that on the conservation efforts rather than just having some off-the-wall number?
And well, certainly. We're going to tell you what it would cost and how much water you could save. And then
fee study going to take that number into account?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, he's waiting for us.
I didn't need an explanation. I just wanted that on record.
May I just clarify on that conversation? When you say what it is going to cost, what is the it you're referring to?
Sure. To implement the chosen conservation measures. If you decide to give out washing machine rebates, we would propose a certain number, say per year, and tell you what that would cost to do that. And then if you did that, how much water would be saved. And you can decide, do we want to do that or not? And if we want to do that, how would we finance it? And what would we do with the water saved? Those are all policy decisions.
Okay, so we'd be talking about existing residential for people who feel they can't afford but would like to have those improvements.
Yeah.
Can you give us also, when you say what will the cost be, the cost if we paid the full price? Let's take the washing machine rebates as a sale. What would it, if you say 50 will create X number of acre feet of water savings, and if the policy then is to finance 100% of that, it will cost you X number of dollars. If the policy is to finance the difference between what an average washing machine costs and what this high efficiency costs, it will cost you X number of dollars. And if you just want to give 150
on whether there's another rebate available from PG&E that can be tapped into or not, so we'll have to look into that. Or are you on your own? Or
What I'm saying is I don't necessarily care what anybody else is dealing. Mm-hmm. I'm asking you to provide us what would it cost us if we make this policy decision or that policy decision or a different policy decision.
Yeah, just if you want some numbers, I mean, washing machines last from, 10 to 15 years. So somewhere between 6 and 10% of the community, the homes, are buying new washers every year. So 10% of your homes, was that 400 or so? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, 300 or 400 homes are buying new washing machines. So they go to wherever they buy them, Home Depot, Lowe's, wherever, and they look at the array. And there's, cheap ones and expensive ones, and they use more or less water, and so they have a choice. And so we're trying to influence them perhaps to buy the efficient one, and usually don't have to give them the total difference to get them to move. But they appreciate some rebate, and usually $100, $150, $200 will do it. So, and sort of the same thing on a toilet, they're... Right now, the high-efficiency toilets, if you look at the prices, they're higher because they're not required. And the price is certainly going to drop when they're mass-produced, and that's the only kind you can buy. The price will come down. But there may be twice as much now. Instead of $250, some are $500. So, are you going to pay that whole $250? Well, you'd get more people taking...
cost, but you would give a cent just... maybe washers, the improved toilets, so that we can really see what possibly really helps with conservation across the board, and how much the incentive would cost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you probably want to hedge your bets and offer more than just one type of rebate. Just go strictly only with washing machines, but you don't want to spread yourself too thin and try and do all 20 of these. Mm. You'll drive yourself crazy trying to keep up.
No, I don't see that, but I just see us having the fullest spectrum of information to make the best decision.
Right.
I do think that there's a lot of value to what made people buy something more efficient, what the balance is across the nation or across the state. And then we are kind of a unique community, too, so I think you recognize that, though. But one thing that you said on your bullet number 20, you said conservation pricing is very effective. In other words, you raise the rate for the amount of water that you use. But you also, in the same vein, you said you're not a conservation pricing expert. Is that something we would expect from somebody else, or can you give us a lot of guidance on that?
Well, we've certainly had a lot of experience with that, but there are companies like Bartle Wells, who you're using on the connection fee study, that also do water rate studies. It's kind of a specialty field. You have a finance economist type person that does that. We know a lot about it. We know how to. We've seen the results of what happens when you change the perhaps outside, because they pay an awful lot more for that water than for just the indoor water, because it puts them in another tier. I think helps, but it's not the only thing. And you have to tell people. I mean, they complain about the price, but you have to tell them what to do. If they don't like paying that, what can they do? So they use less. I mean, you need to offer them kind of the full package. And we just do, you know, I mean, we've looked enough at your situation to see a few opportunities that stick out. And changing your pricing structure seems to us to be one of the things you could do.
Right.
You've replaced a lot of toilets here. I mean, you may be done with toilets. You've done a few washing machines, but, you know, we're just getting some hints of where the potential lies.
Well, my biggest concern is if you could give us as much of your experience of 100 or 200 different plans that you've put out, because I really am reluctant. I think most of the board is reluctant to pay Bartles and Wells or another consultant. I'm really done with consultants in a way. You're doing great, but
I'm not done yet.
You're not done yet, but I mean, you know, we want to get the most bang for the buck, and you have a lot of experience, and I really think that you're the guy to really help us turn this around. But in that one period, the number 20, conservation mm-hmm. pricing, if you can give us some history out of the reports you've already had, that would be very valuable, I think. Mm-hmm.
Offset demands in conformance with, and there's three bullet points right there, including the Urban Water Management Planning Act. Is there a reason why the California Urban Water Conservation Council isn't included? We are a member and a signatory to the MOU for mm-hmm. for that particular organization, that mm-hmm. that their whole purpose in existence is to try and help agencies track their BMPs and their DMMs for water. So that's my first question. On replacements for washing machines, I think that it's important that you pay attention to whether or not the washing machine that gets replaced leaves the town, because it is not an infrequent experience for somebody to be, oh, I'm replacing my washer. This person has an even older washer that needs to be replaced. And so you end up not really getting rid of that washer. You do reduce, hopefully, you still reduce some, but that should be a consideration. Then two related questions, and then I have two suggestions, and then I'll stop, because I could talk about this all day long. is the audit considered one, is like the residential audits, is that considered one of the conservation measures? Or is that part of what you do in forecasting demand and what possible costs for different programs might be? So, for example, if you don't really know how many toilets have been done, well, you need to do audits of the residences to find out how many would still need to have rebates available for them. Because if the saturation's 100% on the line, it would be a great business opportunity, I guess, for a landscaper to do something like that also. But it would be really good for the district, I think. It's a good expenditure of money to promote and to get one of those and promote it. And the other thing would be to make those monitors that you have that where you can watch your water use minute by minute, basically. I think it's in 15-minute intervals. I don't know what the intervals are on those. That it reads your meter all the time. You stick it in, it's a magnet, stick it on your fridge, and it tells you all the time how much water your home is using, because then they can identify leaks when they're happening, and they can also see exactly how much. Because I think we all want to be using water in alignment with what is available, not because it's limited, but in alignment with what's available, because I think it's this community loves this community. We want to be good. We just feel like we're being bad when we're doing anything like taking a longer than 5-minute shower, and I don't think that that's necessarily the case.
Okay, I can offer an answer, and thank you for the suggestions. Those are two additional conservation measures we'll look into. And then you asked several other questions. First, about the California Urban Water Conservation Council. Our firm is a member also. We're active participants. We serve on a research and evaluation committee, which keeps us connected with research to investigate new ways of saving water and how they play out and how much water can be saved. And because there's a lot of kind of obscurely published information that we keep our labeled things DMMs. That's the Department of Water Resources labeling. The council calls them BMPs. And they're really the same thing. But unfortunately, sometimes they're operating on a slightly different list. The Department of Water Resources is usually a step behind, and the council changes something, and we don't hear about it or see it reflected in these urban water management plans until the next one. They're on a 5-year cycle. So the DMMs, some of them line up with the best management practices. Some don't. We'll get to you in just a sec. And you asked about washing machines leaving town. Well, I think that's a risk we take, when you offer rebate. And people do move, and, that's just something that has to be factored into the water savings. And you asked about the single-family home water. I like to call them surveys rather than audits. Audits kind of scares people off, so I've been calling them surveys. And it is a conservation measure we're going to investigate. And the council has guidelines as to how many, should be done per year. I think they want you to do 15% of the homes in 10 years, Bob, something like that.
I don't know what I'll
Yeah, it's it's a lot. It's a lot. 400 homes over 10 years. And you have done a lot with replacing toilets, and people have done things on their own. And so you're not at 100% efficient toilets. There's some room there, but it's not a lot. We might be at 70%. So maybe there's only 30% old ones. And they're going to take some work to get out of there. So whether you want to...
Not just Cambrians, but Americans and people all around the world would realize that water is our most precious resource, without a doubt. And I take it very seriously, living here or living anywhere, how much water I use. And believe me, it's a very small amount. But I have a nice home here in Cambria. I have a nice yard. I'm allowed 12 units of water every 2 months. I use 4. And my husband, who's still working down south, brings his laundry up every 3 weeks, and we manage. So I have a very difficult time when I'm trying so diligently to conserve. And then I see, on your... page 26, next steps. Develop tool to forecast water needs by type of customer. It really irritates me, frustrates me no end when so many of us in Cambria care about conservation and diligently try to do something about it as we live our lives. And we see homes with lap pools and swimming pools here going up. Unbelievable. And they are happening right now as we speak. And they have been, even since the moratorium was declared. Those homes with intent to serve, there have been a number of them. And one just recently was approved. And so I have a very, very difficult time understanding how the fairness of it all. And I find that to be a real issue. The other thing is when I live down south... in the city of Alta Loma, which was incorporated into Rancho Cucamonga, actually, the city, the water department provided, talked about leakage, and I think it's not just leakage in homes, but also within the water districts themselves have real issues. So while we've added we've installed automated water metering systems, but what about adding automation and controls to regulate water usage? I didn't see that in your presentation. I just was curious about that. Another question. There are tons more, but I really wish that we could get away from the all-consuming greed and realize that if we don't take care of this precious resource, we won't have it, and we're going to have problems. So thank you very much for taking my question. Questions?
Well, I appreciate your comment, and I feel like sometimes I've been butting my head against the wall for 40 years, you know, trying to get people to pay attention to this. And, you know, they seem to be more worried about their cell phone or their cell phone bill than their water bill. And it's just the way it is. People are busy, and it's hard to get their attention. You know, there's 6,000 people in Cambria, and there's a nice group here, but what about the rest of them? Where are they? And it's really hard to get their attention. And, you know, you really don't want to hit them over the head or tell them, thou shalt only do it this way. That's not the American way. I mean, people have freedoms, and when we've had regulations, we've been able to get them passed on, like, non-single-family homes. Anybody but a single-family home is regulated on how they landscape their property. 4-foot-wide strip of turf, and the water's going all over the street. You know, how did that happen? Well, you know, it's in some cases it shouldn't have been, but it is. So we have to kind of deal with what is and deal with people as they are. We're trying to influence them, and I think it's a whole mixture of things. It's how much they pay, the incentives, what we offer them, and what we tell them, and you know, sometimes it's going to take a generation. I have what I call drought babies because my daughters were really young in 1976, and I told them, don't flush the toilet, don't flush the toilet. I've saved the water from the shower, I'll flush it. You know, and I mean, they were impacted by that. But most people aren't, you know. But once you've lived through a drought or two in California, you feel a little bit different about water. And it's controversial. People argue over it. Yeah.
Gary?
Okay, my name is Mary Webb. I'm Cambria resident and voter here since 1985. I don't know if you've ever seen the 44-page report that was produced by Greenspace, the Cambria Land Trust, by Jim Fryer. I think you know Jim Fryer.
Yeah, I know him. Yeah.
Called The Review of Water Use and Water Management Alternatives. I worked for over a year on this to help gather data from the CCSD, billing mm-hmm. records, customer, billing records, actual data on unaccounted water use, urban water management plan information, et cetera, the public water statistic reports, the best management practices from the county. Are you aware of this report? Have you read any of the information in it? Because most of the community input requests that you're asking for right now are already written down in this report.
I'm not sure I've seen the one for Cambria, but there was a similar one done by the same group for Marin. And so, yeah.
He worked on the
report. We like to look at both sides and comb through those and look for good ideas.
Okay, well, I'd like to send this to you if I can get your email address so that you have, because all the comments I would make basically on what you're trying to do here that's costing the community $69,000, we've done. The mm-hmm. toilet replacement program is on page 10. Of this report, and it will tell you, let's see. Can't hold this and do this at the same time. Since beginning a rebate program for replacement of toilets in 1989, approximately 2,615 single-family residences have been retrofitted with ultra-low-flow toilets. This is the result of direct customer rebates as well as the existing CCSD plumbing retrofit program. It is estimated that a total of approximately 52,000 ultra-low-flow toilets have been installed to date. Well, we have 3,644 single-family connections in 2011. Therefore, the toilet retrofit status of about 1,000 of the single-family accounts is uncertain. Some of these sites have probably been retrofitted due to remodels and replacement of malfunctioning fixtures. However, it is possible that a large number of 3.5-gallon per flush and 5.8-gallon per flush toilets still exist in single-family sites. The known retrofitted toilets are 1.6-gallon per flush. Significant water future saving without knowing the basic saturation studies that need to be done and who's been retrofitted or not retrofitted in town is almost a complete waste of time. I'm glad we're having a workshop. I appreciate having a workshop because we've been asking for these things for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Some of the members of this audience probably for 20. So anyway, I'll email that to you. There's just data. There's customer billing records in here for every single month for the last 10 years, how much water is being used by commercial, single-family, multifamily. But, you know, and the commercial is using 6 times, and I'm glad you have that data up there now. Mm-hmm. We didn't have that data for a really long time, so now we know the commercial, and commercial is not being limited. We can add commercial accounts today with no problem. It's the single-family, multifamily, and a lot of these unlocked people that might want to be building can't build, but commercial seems to be completely not limited at all. So I have a lot of recommendations. The first recommendation here, conduct a comprehensive water conservation baseline study to determine present-day saturation of water conservation fixtures and technologies and landscape irrigation practices in single-family, multifamily, commercial, and institutional accounts. Use the results to better focus future water conservation programs. That's number one.
Yeah, well, thank you for your comments. I'll give you my email, and we'll
I can ask, too. I think is this on the CAM Green Space Land Trust website? And if you could give us that, I think Lisa could probably note that, and they could download it, you know, immediately.
Right away.
So you can save a step that way.
Yeah.
Why don't you give us the address?
www.greenspacecambria.org.
Report concurrent. And I just want to acknowledge that we have a community of people who are extremely aware, capable, bright folks, and I think the collaboration, you know, with taking a look at the study that GreenSpace did do and looking at that to incorporate, you know, rather than have two sources that really have some great ideas to, mm-hmm. to integrate, that would be a very good, a very useful thing.
Yes, we'll certainly take a look at it. The district has shared with me the retrofit data that they maintain and they have. I don't know if that's the same that went into that report or not, but some of the numbers you mentioned, I've heard similar numbers before, and they've sent me all that information. So we will be using that.
Yeah, I think as far as the maintenance of the database with CUWCC, you know, it hasn't been adequate. You know, we joined CUWCC for several reasons, and a lot of it had to do with the training you get through that organization, and we had some key people get trained and leave and move on. So we've had some turnover that has been associated with some of that lack of the update of the database, so we'll have to do a better job in the future. But let me get the gentleman behind you, because he's next, I believe.
Hi, I'm Mike McLaughlin. I live in Cambria. A couple of questions. One, there was a decision by the Water Resources Control Board back in the 80s, I believe it was. I'm not certain of the date, in which they allocated between people who had riparian rights and maybe a little less. And could that have an adverse impact on how we do things in Cambria? That was one question. You want me to ask all the questions? And the other is, have you... these jurisdictions that you've been, have you seen that the district hire a particular person? That's their whole job. I know Sineville used to have the soup Nazi. I wonder if we have the water Nazi here. Pardon, I don't mean to offend anybody, but there's somebody who really gets on that, and that's their whole focus, mm-hmm. to go around, get together, educate people on a lot of practical things that can be done beyond what, you know, the bigger mm-hmm. things that you've mm-hmm. mentioned.
Well, Bob, why don't you answer the first one, and I'll take the second one.
Sure. Boy, the first one is almost a legal question that I may not be qualified to get into as far as water use going down and how that might impact your water rights in so many words. Gosh, I'd have to defer that to a water rights type attorney to say, hey, can we get an opinion on this? Because I don't know off the top of my head. I'd have to research that and get back to you on that. I just don't know the answer to it. And I can say that we've had various personnel fill the water conservation officer position in the past. Again, we've had some turnover in people that did that function. People have retired. People have moved on. And we've had joint responsibilities. I think it's kind of what we're doing now is we've got Jim and the water department doing certain functions. I'm doing certain functions of that department. We have some admin tech people doing part of that job, so we're all doing our best to fill that requirement as far as a sphere to fill that position. But and I'll let Bill, you can certainly add on to what your experience has been elsewhere.
Yes, when we went over the list of measures, a conservation coordinator was the last one on the list, and that is a staff person that would implement the program either using other in-house people, part-time people, or hiring contractors to do the work. Because somebody, if you're going to survey homes, somebody has to go out and do it. I mean, and you can't have the conservation coordinator do everything. And staffs of the large agencies, they can have 24 people on staff doing this, but they serve 1 million people, you know, and they're spending millions of dollars per year. When it comes down to a smaller and smaller community, at some point, you can't afford to hire somebody and just dedicate them to conservation. You know, you have to kind of patch it together as best you can. And they'll have to figure out, you know, do they need to hire somebody to do this, maybe part-time, or do they have the staff in-house to get it done? And, you know, that's something they'll have to address. We always feel better if there's a dedicated person, because then we know something's going to happen. You know, and we tell them what to do, but we tell them, hey, keep your eye to the, you know, look for new technology, and if you see something that's great, you know, check it out, ask around, and maybe go in that direction. You know, there's a lot of clever people out there inventing things. I mean, I have a weather-adjusting irrigation controller, and I don't think those are ready for the average homeowner to sort out, but it's worked wonders at my... Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's a good point. We can't just turn on a switch and this stuff happens automatically, just like you can't repair a leaking water main in the street by just wishing it would go away. You got to send people out there. I mean, it takes people to do this work.
Let's see. I think Amanda or...
All right, I thought of a couple of other things. Amanda Rice, Cambria resident and voter. First thing is part of the MOU that you sign for the California Urban Water Conservation Council when you sign on to that agreement is that you will have somebody on staff at the very least part-time to do that as opposed to patching it together. We're not patching together the staff member who's taking care of desal. Why are we patching together one of our other water solutions? Related to the refrigerator magnets that read your meter and give you feedback all the time about how much you're using, before you go into that, you could even, to give more frequent feedback, you could go to monthly billing, which may increase your costs slightly because you're doing monthly billing. But the payoff may be a lot better because whenever they implement surcharges, it takes at least until after that first bill for people to recognize mm-hmm. that they're using too much. I think having more frequent feedback will help the amount of water that gets used be reduced. There was a committee and recommendations that included on two different specific focuses. One was catastrophic emergency and one was severe drought. How do you react? And on both goals, we said the very first thing all of us said was, no need to reinvent the wheel. We already have code. We already have things that we're not using. We already have tools that we're not using that should be used. And there were all kinds of recommendations from that. I'm glad to give you these presentations and the draft reports that we gave to the board that ended up not going anywhere. One thing I'd like to see you keep in mind is that this community is not all homeowners. There are renters here, and the landlords, some of them don't live in town, and reaching renters who would like to conserve, but they don't own the house, and their landlord doesn't care to spend any money to change out fixtures or whatever. I think that's a consideration sometimes that gets forgotten in these mm-hmm. kinds of situations, because not everybody is a homeowner. Mm-hmm. And the last comment I want to make is, being a former high school teacher, I learned really, really fast that the best way to make sure that you have rules nobody wants to follow is to just say what they are. And the best way to get people to have some buy-in to the rules and actually feel like they're a part of it is to get them involved in helping develop them. There's just no way around it. You have to have community involvement with the developing of any kinds of bill. If you're going to have conservation, how about we all get on board here and try and keep our bills to a reasonable amount?
Thank you. Anyone else at this time?
Oh. Well, let me give it to Jim.
This will take 2 seconds. Just to put out a monthly bill that costs you only $1,600, not even including paper and labor. So I think we're fine with every 2 months.
Okay. Well, thank you. Jim, you haven't spoken yet.
Thank you. My name is Jim Webb, Cambria resident. And I had a question about the pie chart on your PowerPoint, page 10, that shows the CCSD percent water use by customer billing category. My question was, is this by number of connections, or is this by volume of water being used? That would be the first question. And then I have a number of questions about users that I'm interested in, one of which being the cemetery, and I was wondering which of these categories the cemetery fits in. And I believe Mr. Berenger asked about state parks, and you indicated that was a commercial water user, and I'd like just to verify that. And then also the public restrooms in town, I wondered which category they fit into. And then finally, I was wondering about Shamel Park. I don't.
If it were by connections, it would be tilted towards the residential. There's many more residential connections, but the use is small compared to the commercial. So this is by volume.
I had to consult with my expert in the back row, Jim Adams. he just advise me that, we basically have everything in commercial categories. Oftentimes you'll read CII for commercial, institutional, and industrial. We're pretty simplified. We have just commercial. And you could probably argue that certain things are institutional versus commercial. We put them all in one category here. As far as the cemetery, I think you asked about, that was a commercial account. So that's in the commercial category. As far as the restrooms, those are considered internal accounts because we own and operate those. So if it's an internal account, it's in that internal category on that pie chart. I'm trying to remember your other question.
State parks.
Oh, Shamel Park. I know they have an irrigation well that the county installed that serves the Shamel Park outdoor irrigation. Internal.
I heard rumor a few years ago that the potential for the pool being operated out of their own well, but that would be a county question. I'm not absolutely sure. We don't deal with their internal water structure at the time. And like I said before, I was back in the middle of the food chain. I'm not aware of what's going on, but it's something we could find out. I know Elizabeth had asked me that question. We don't give them anything. Our permit's only appropriated for us. They have their own appropriation permit. I can't speak for the county. I really don't, and haven't. It hasn't been an issue that I've addressed personally.
Well, does anybody know where Shadow Park's getting their potable water? We should
know that. I think we'll have to come back. I don't think anyone here in this room has an answer. We know that they have outdoor irrigation by a well. We know they have a meter, definitely for the restroom at Channel Park, and I would assume that's also for the swimming pool. Whether, you know, the quantity of the bill, we'd have to research that and come up with numbers.
How much water we're taking out of our aquifers when we're figuring out how much available water we have for growth. We need to know these things. We've been trying for about 6 weeks to get this information. Mr. Black of the county said, we provide potable water. When we ask here at the CCMD, they say, well, we don't know.
I was pretty straightforward with my answer, I thought.
Well, I still don't know.
If they changed the policy in the mid-90s, that's something that we need to investigate. So I would assume the county, on their filter process for the pool, because they have state regulations to follow just like we do. And I don't know if their well would allow them to use it for a potable source.
I think we've got what we'd call a parking lot issue here. And if we just classify this as a parking lot issue rather than, you know, take away from other people that want to share your account. Jim just verified that for me. So, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
And it's a commercial account, not an internal account.
Right. That's correct.
Internal accounts are only CCSD owned and operated properties.
Mm-hmm. Let me just double check. Any questions over here? There's a gentleman there that hasn't spoken yet. Let me give him a chance here.
Gary Swager, Cambria resident since 1976. Are you aware of Title 19? That's the county's green ordinance.
It's a state title.
No, local.
Local?
Yes, it was. Well, it goes into effect in January of next year.
Okay.
So that's something you should... look into as well. I was noticing on the charts where you had water usage and individuals, the amounts varied so much from one individual to another.
Yeah.
Is there any way that the district could reach out to those on the higher end of the spectrum and offer to do, say, an analysis or something? It would seem that there could be a fair amount of water saved on those, whereas the people that are down at the bottom are already doing a good job. And so just something to think about. Certainly commercial users, even though they're only 23%, you're looking at much higher use of a given fixture. A toilet gets flushed a lot more times, a urinal, same thing. So... especially restaurants, I think. Also, someone was mentioning about the swimming pool, and certainly if a swimming pool is covered, that would reduce the water loss significantly. I have in my own house a spa that's heated, and it's covered, and very little water. Incidental, maybe every couple of weeks I put, 5 or 10 gallons in. So I think that certainly a swimming pool, if it was covered, doesn't have the temperature differential and all that, so it probably wouldn't evaporate so much. So those are really my thoughts.
Those are good thoughts. Those are some of the questions that we've been asking also. And if you see, we advocate working with the top users. And, if you... We usually ask for, give us the top 25 or 50 accounts and tell us what they are, who they are. And it turns out that I just heard a talk at a conference last week, but the in this one particular district, the top 1.3% of accounts in the commercial sector use 35% of the water in the commercial sector, only 1%. And, I mean, that's the way it is. There's some really big ones, and then there's a ton of little ones. And more, they use less water than a house. And so that's why we advocate getting a list of the top users and then working from the top down. We do those commercial water surveys. Took the top 10 in Cambria, made a real effort to help those people. You'd do a lot of good just working with the top ones. And then the other ones, you know, they can get the same incentives as everybody else and do it on their own. The average 680 gallons a day, we're used to seeing an average of another community maybe in Southern California is going to be around 2,000 gallons a day. So you, on average, your commercial accounts are fairly small. But we've seen the list. We know there are some big ones, and the opportunities probably lay there. We don't know how they're using the water, and there's no way to really tell without going out and looking and trying to help them. So that's it's on the list.
Any other questions at this time? Okay.
Just a couple of things. Once John Tulliger again. Water is not a one-sided animal. We use water, and we want to conserve water, but where water goes is extremely important. I don't know how many of you folks really look at your water bill. If you look at the sewer cost, you'll notice that's a huge part of it. Mm-hmm. And in my work, we have to work with the POTWs and evaluate what happens when you reduce water use. All of a sudden, your TDS goes up, your organics go up, and the POTW starts jacking up your water costs. So there's a direct relation to the constituents of your effluent and the cost that we have to pay out of our pocket to manage those that effluent. So I'm asking, one, is that part of your analysis, 20 rule? Yeah, look at the high water uses. And I would suggest that the Cambria community has a tremendous opportunity to tackle that, to have somebody in that water use coordinator position to go out and talk to those high users. Because you talk about a bang for your buck, there's your low-hanging fruit right there. Mm-hmm. And the last thing is I would request the next time, and I hope there is, because I really appreciate all the hard work you've done presenting this great information to us. But so much of it, to me, from an analysis point of view, looks like straightforward statistics. I would strongly hope, based on your extensive experience, that you could come to us and say, based on my years of study in communities similar to yours, or perhaps even not, but these are the cost benefits from implementing these various plans and programs. Mm-hmm. That's it. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your comments. That's exactly what we're going to work out. And you being in the business, you know how things are designed and what's important in the design. And, you know, on the water side, things are sized to meet the demands on the peak day when it's, you know, a hot day in town and maybe even there's a fire going at the same time. And that's used to size the water tanks and the pipes and things like that. And so water conservation, if it's directed at things that are active on the peak day, and, of course, people are flushing toilets on the peak day and every day, but they're irrigating on the peak day, aren't they? And so if we can focus on irrigation, we can reduce the peak day demand here and maybe save some money on future capital facilities compared to handle that, process that without spilling it. And they may have to hold it, but they have to deal with it. They have to pump it. And so there's not much we can do about that. And as far as the design of a wastewater plant, water conservation has practically no effect. Now, we do have an effect on the cost to operate it because we, by conserving, can reduce the amount of water coming down the pipeline every day that has to be pumped around and dealt with. We can't reduce the solids. Those still have to be dealt with. And if you want to reuse the water, by conserving water, we make the water less attractive to use for irrigation because the salt content increases and it makes it maybe too salty for use. And so those are all issues that have to be dealt with. But, yeah, we're looking for benefits every place we can find them, and we're going to look here.
You also mentioned salts, which is one of my favorite issues, I guess. And I've been the staff member advocating for this water softener issue. I kind of backed into it. In all honesty, I remember talking to one of our ex-water conservation officers of how the valve stuck during the backwashing. And so there was a lot of waste of water when these things would stick in the middle of the night, and no one would, you know, people would go for months not knowing what was happening, and it was actually a water softener valve sticking. And I know they have a different type, which is the cartridge replacement units. And that's what I'm pushing, not really the one that just measures hardness, but actually no backwashing. You just have a service come out and replace the cartridge periodically, so there's no chance of a stuck valve. I've been cautioned on that out in the government code on that. But thank you for bringing that up. Yes, Mr. President.
Bob. Bill, this is the choir we're speaking to, and of course they're proactive, and as you know, a lot of the community that aren't here, it could care less. Demand management, charge them whatever you want. They still use a lot of water. I'm concerned about two things, of course, and one of them is maybe the milestone dates that you would put on as far as eventually coming to a plan, a revised plan that we could consider our second-generation conservation plan. I know that you've looked at our 4.2, our municipal code, the existing conservation plan that we have. And I also realize the words you keep saying, but I want to make sure that we all recognize the more water we save, the more revenue we lose. We are a water company, after all, and with an administrator, with rebates, with so many things that go along with conservation, they're all expenses. And as you said also, this is a tiny community and finite in its expenses, and they all look to the ratepayers eventually for funding. So is there some dates that we could, or you could hang your hat on, that you would come back to us?
Testing the water use reductions due to the plan year by year. And I will tell you that this takes quite a while to really develop into something significant. And I won't try and hazard a guess as what that is, but the numbers will work out are predictable. So you do periodically update your rates, perhaps every 3 years. That's fairly typical. And so this is one of the things you're going to need to factor in. If maybe you're cutting demand, 2% per year, then when it comes around to another rate increase, you figure on selling 6% less water. Mm-hmm. We'll have a number like that. I don't know whether it'll be 6% or some other number, but we'll have a number that you can factor in. The types of things that catch us off guard is when we get into a drought or a recession and the water use plummets. Yeah. And you're not expecting that, and you're not ready for that, and so the water sales go down and the revenue goes down. Mm-hmm. And nothing we can do will affect that or help with that. That's something that you have to be prepared for because it could happen at any time. And so, agencies have reserve funds. They have drought contingency plans. They say, well, if we have to ask for a temporary 25% cutback, then the rates are going to have to go up to compensate that. And we're going to have to be prepared to raise the rates and tell the community why we're doing that. And, it's a tough problem, but when you sell water, you're dependent on the weather, just like
water leakage. We didn't see the drop like you showed on your graph at all. So in our particular case, I don't think it was the key element. The recession didn't have the impact that I think someone suggested that we did experience. But I would go back to you again. Any benchmark you can give us as when the next time you're going to come in with a plan that is close to being ready to sign up? I'm not saying a date specific. I'm saying right. 6 months, a year, whatever.
Oh, no, not that long.
Okay.
We're hoping to have something substantive at the December board meeting.
Exactly. Okay.
Okay. And whether it'll be the done deal or whether it'll be, at least the results of doing all this analysis, then you can cogitate on, well, now what do we really want to do? What can we afford? What seems like the best way, direction to go? So we like to take it a step at a time, and, we're at a preliminary step now. Now we have to do our work, our homework, and come back with some numbers. And then I think it's another good time for people to think about that and how you want to move forward. And then when you're happy with something, then you can, adopt it, change your code and so forth, and, change the way you do things.
Off we go. Thank you. Bob? Running out of wall space.
Running out of wall space.
And we're running out of time.
Is hunger getting to people? So yeah. I guess if there's